Welcome to the Laney Road Baptist Church Podcast. We're located at 5998 Laney Road in Jacksonville, Florida, 32218. Our office number is 904-924-8240. For more information, you can check out our website at laneyroadbaptistchurch.org. And now, stand by for the message.
Y'all want to meet us there? We'll make sure that we save you a pork chop. You'll ask me later, I'll tell you the story behind that one. Brother Chris told me that River City Nursing Home is having to cancel next Wednesday. That's the 17th. They won't be having nursing home ministry. They got some other program that's scheduled in there. So I'll have to make sure I get that to Miss Holly. I've already turned in stuff. Miss Adrian, if you can take a note of that. I'll try to remember to send you an email too. The 17th, River City Nursing Home has now been canceled. Also, Miss, on the 18th, 19th, and 20th of next week, which is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we have two couples and there's a couple of ladies that are scheduled to go to a place called Camp Baldwin. They're guests of Brother Doug and Miss Bonnie Turberville going to a special, it's like a church retreat type thing for 3 days. I'm looking for another lady to fill a bed in a room with Miss Cindy. That's
if Cindy can't make it, it could be a man in
the room. I don't know about all that. All I know is what I'm told. You're talking about math. I hadn't got to yet, baby. I'm sorry. Yeah, she's in trigonometry. I'm still trying to add just one more. I want to add one more. So if you would like to go, we need a lady that could be able to room with Miss Cindy or Miss Laurie, whichever way it works out. There's a couple of options, but we need one more lady to go. That way Miss Cindy's got transportation, someone to ride with her. And if you are interested at all, Miss Cindy, once again, just wave at me. Just go talk to her. It's not going to cost you anything except for a little bit of gas and maybe one lunch. The rest of it's going to be included, already paid for. Somebody else paid and couldn't go, and you get the benefit of going in place of that if you'd like to do that. So there you go. All right. The last announcement I'd like to make to you is I spoke today with a man named Jacob Phillips. He's with Phillips and Banks, and they have agreed to come in October for our revival and our gospel sing. So Jacob's going to be preaching for us, and we're going to have Phillips and Banks singing. I'm pretty excited about that. So God, we appreciate that. And I also noticed Eternal Vision, is it next week or this week? This week. This week, Eternal Vision is going to be in town. Friday night, you can't go. You got to be here. They're going to be in another church, but Saturday they're going to be out in Brightsville. So you're welcome to go to Brightsville to see them if you'd like to join with them in that. And I know you might enjoy seeing them. And I don't think I've shared with everybody, but in November they're coming for our gospel sing here. They always come for our barbecue, and I haven't had them back for just a natural gospel sing in a long time. And they worked it out where they were able to come in November, so they'll be here in November for our monthly gospel sing. So we got a lot of exciting things that's going to be taking place this year. Grateful for that. I think that kind of covers everything. If you guys aren't aware, this coming Friday night is our monthly gospel sing, and we have Isaiah 61, and those folks, if you remember them, they are exceptional. They really are very good, spirit-filled, and very talented, and you're going to enjoy them. If you'll come and be a part of that and just bring, some chocolate donuts or something or whatever you've fixed up and bring it to us for the fellowship. Be glad to have that time of refreshments afterwards. Can I take you tonight? Wow, look at that. We got a brand new projector. I can tell the difference just in the letters on the screen. It's a laser projector, so if it burns holes, that kind of laser. But it's so sharp and so bright and relatively inexpensive concerning what we got. And I want to appreciate Brother Mike Hall hooked us up with a family member of his that happens to be in that stuff. And they worked it out and got us a really good deal. And what a blessing that is. Don't that look good? I saw the picture. You still got that picture, brother, of the rate? Shoot that up there for a minute. Not that. How about the other one? The first one, the rainbow and the cross and the Bible. Is that hard to find?
Yes,
yeah, it'll be a minute. That'd be hard to find. Yeah. Yeah, when I tell my wife a minute, I usually ain't coming right away. You know what I'm saying?
I can't blame her.
Tonight we're going to be taking it anyway to the book of Colossians. You can be finding your place in the scriptures as we want to talk about being grounded and settled. Did you know that was in the Bible? Grounded and settled. I want to talk to you about it. It's Colossians. It's after you get through 1st and 2nd Corinthians and Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians. You get to that. That's all right, Brother Gary. Don't worry about it. I didn't let you know ahead of time. So we'll just work on the message tonight, and we'll ooh and ah later. How about that? Grounded and settled. We're in Colossians chapter 1, and it begins in verse number 15 for me. I wanted to pick up there, but I want to let you know that it comes in by saying, who is the image of the invisible God? It says that because of verse number 13 up above, because it's talking about how Jesus was offered and sacrificed for us. So God gave his dear son. That's what it actually says, I think. Let me go back and look at verse number 13 in my scriptures for just a second. It says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us, we've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. And we talked in our Sunday school class about why some things are sometimes capitalized and some things are not. But in my Bible, the word son there, it's capitalized. We're talking about the Son of God. We're talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So when we're talking about that and you jump into verse 15, it's continuing with the idea of who Jesus is. Now I want to talk to you a little bit about that tonight, and I believe you'll be blessed for being, that's the one we was talking about. Isn't that brilliant? Wonderful. All right, that was your moment. That was your moment, brother. You can go back. Who is Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God? That was an image of a picture. It wasn't the actual picture. It was the image of a picture that was being projected onto the screen. And Jesus is the image of the God that we cannot lay our hands on because we can't see him. He's spiritual. He's not flesh and blood. But God's Son come into this world to be the image of God in the flesh. Oh, John, remember dear John, the beloved John, the beloved disciple? He said, we have handled him. We've touched him. We've hugged him. We've been hugged by him. We know the tenderness of his embrace. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn. I'm going to go ahead and read because I'll be stuck all day. The firstborn of every creature. For by him, that's Jesus, were all things created. Did you know that? That are in heaven and that are in earth. Listen to this. Visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Amen. He is the one and only. Verse 17. And listen, and he is, we're still talking about Jesus, and he is before all things. That doesn't mean just in succession. It doesn't mean just chronologically he came before everything. It also means that he has the preeminence in everything. He is the most important of all things. He is before all things. And by all things, by him, all things consist. It's by Jesus that everything, and I'll get back to that in just a minute, they hold together. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church. the head of the body. When we talk about the body, we're talking about the body of Jesus Christ, because he's gone back to heaven to represent us before the Father. We are his body here in this earth to represent him to this lost and dying world. There you go. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Preeminence is just a big word that means the first place, the most outstanding, the preeminent, the prominent place of position. Verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Let me read that one to you again. Verse 19, you might want to highlight, mark that one somehow. Verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him, that in Jesus his Son, should all fullness dwell. Hopefully I get time to come back to everything I keep saying I'm going to come back to. Verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, we're still talking about Jesus, having made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by your wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Amen. He reconciled, listen, in the body of his flesh, how? Through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Verse 23 is where we're going to end up. He's in the body of his flesh, he wants through his death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith. If you think it's important to stick it out, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. How many have heard? All of them. Whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So the apostle's telling us about this incredible position that Christ has been given by the Father. And I'm going to see if I can just go back and pick on a few things I said I was going to revisit. I'm sure I'm going to miss some of them. But being grounded and settled is what it ended up telling us we had to be able to do. And we need to be grounded and settled in some of the things that were mentioned from verses 13 and forward. Grounded and settled, number one, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. Do you have any doubts? Anybody have a doubt? He is not just a good man. He wasn't just another prophet. Remember when Jesus asked the disciples, who say they that the Son of Man is? And they said, well, some think you're Jeremiah. You know? Some think that you're John the Baptist. And then he said, well, who do you say that I am? And, of course, that's when Peter made that great confession, right? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Listen, most folks was thinking that he was a good man, a prophet, a good preacher, another one sent by God to try to reach people with the good news of the message. He wasn't just a man. We are talking about he is God made flesh that come into this world. If you don't get that, you got to get that. If you don't get that, you don't get nothing. Eternal life is wrapped up in the Son. And if you don't get the Son, you don't get the life. It's important that you get that. Grounded and settled. And you need to be rock solid on that. Man, I'm not talking about vacillating back and forth and you're not sure. Man, if you've ever met him, you know. He's the Son of the living God. I'll tell you something else he is. He's the creator of all things. What did we read? Visible and invisible. He is the creator of all things. Which things? Name something he didn't make. You can't do it. There's just nothing. There's just nothing that he did not speak into existence. Do you know what it says in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, that God was there, and then in verse number 2, he spoke, and there was light. Let there be light, and there was light. That was Jesus. You didn't know that? It just told us he's the creator of all things. The Gospel of John tells us that he's the one that made everything. You knew he was there, I'm assuming. He was there. He's been there from the beginning. He always has been. There's nothing that's ever existed before him. And when it comes time to, and then you might be thinking, well, why did the Father allow the Son to be the creator and make everything? I don't know why, but I saw in this passage of Scripture I just read to you that it pleased the Father that in his Son Jesus all fullness should dwell. I don't know what it is about daddies. They like their children to carry on. They like their kids to do better than they did. I never forget my daddy having that conversation with me. Yeah, he said, son, you're gonna go further, do things that I've never done. And I thought to myself, I don't see that happening. But that's what his prayer was. That was his heart's desire. The parents always want their children to do better and to have more. And our Heavenly Father had, it pleased him that in Jesus' Son, the all fullness should dwell. He's the creator of all things, visible and invisible. He is before all things. Now, he is chronologically before all things. In fact, he existed before there was anything. That's right. There hasn't ever been a time he did not exist. He always has been. I can't explain that, but I do believe that. And I'm going to tell you something. When I preach from this pulpit, I'm going to say a lot of stuff to you that I believe because the book says it that I don't know how to explain. But I just believe it because the book says it. If the book says it, I believe it. Because I can't explain it don't mean a hill of beans because I ain't very smart. But I am smart enough to believe what he says. I'm that smart. And that's all you got to do, man. I'm telling you, that's what real faith is, by the way. Y'all getting me stirred up. Hallelujah. Believe in all. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. I looked that up in my little Strong's thing, and that word consist means that they are set together. I remember a teaching that I was doing one time when we were talking about that Jesus Christ holds everything together. You know how everything, like this pulpit that I'm so proud of that Brother Michael made for us, I was telling him just the other day how much I appreciate it, and it looks like it's made out of wood, and we would all agree that it is, and I'm not trying to tell you it ain't, but the wood, what's the wood made out of is what I want you to understand. The wood is made out of molecules. They're pretty solid. they're very tightly compact, but it's wood molecules. There might be some other stuff in there too, I don't know. But everything that we see is held or big together, is made consistent by the framework of what the Son of God spoke into existence. I don't know if you can get that or not, but I got to tell you, if you was to take this pulpit and burn it, it's wood, it'll burn. If you burn it, you better hide the guns because I'm coming after you. If you was to take it though and burn it, and you burn it all the way down to ashes, even the smoke and the ashes contain the molecules of what this thing is made out of. They don't ever really go away. It might be transformed into another figure. It's like ice. You take ice, and when ice melts, it becomes water. I know you know that. But the molecules are still there. You still have the H2O, right? It's in a different form, but it's still there. All the molecules are there. And so the smoke would maybe go a little way, and then you have some ashes. You might have some clumps of charred coals that are left, and all of them are part of the molecules that brought this together. Isn't that remarkable? That's how everything is made. And you know what holds it together? If you ask Brother Mike, he would say it's a lot of glue and some nails and some clamps and different types of things. But the truth of the matter, what holds everything together is the will of the Son of God. Amen. If he ceases to exist, so does this. Amen. So does this world. Amen. So does this universe. Aren't you glad God's not dead?
Amen.
God's not dead. I let you in on a secret. If God ever dies, you'll know. Because everything's going away. Because by Him, all things consist. They're held together. They are brought and set in place, fitly joined. Because He is the one that spoke it into existence. And if He ever ceases to be the power that He is, everything will vanish away. That, I'll get back to this in a second. That's why I know I've got eternal life. Because He never will cease to be. My life is in Him. It's not that His life's in me. My life is in Him. And as long as He is, I will be. If He ever ceases to be, my eternal life is a ticket that can't be cashed anywhere. Has no value to it. Talking about putting all your eggs in one basket? I've done that. If Jesus is a liar, if He's not who He said He was, well, I'm doomed and so are you. I got all my eggs in that basket. I believe everything He said from the beginning. That my daddy used to say, I believe it from cover to cover. And he said, I believe the cover because it says Holy Bible. Yeah. Cover to cover. I believe it all. He's a good God. I thank God for that. He is before all things. By Him, all things consist. He is the head of the church, we saw in these verses. He's the head of the church. In other words, He didn't just leave us here to try to make it on our own. You and I are not left without a guide. When He went away, He said, I will not leave you comfortless. That's exactly right. But I will send the Comforter. And He will guide you and He'll lead you and He'll remind you of all the things that I have taught you. That's a remarkable thing. Isn't it great to know you got the Spirit of God dwelling within you?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. It's a remarkable. He is the head of the church, the body of Christ. He is the beginning, the Bible tells us. Right there in these verses, in verse number 18, He is the beginning. The beginning of what? He's the beginning of the church. The church did not exist until Jesus did this one act, and that was got up from the grave. That's when it took place. I want you to look at the very next words in that verse we were looking at, verse number 18. He is the beginning. He's the firstborn from the dead. He's the first one. You might say to me, well, brother, buddy, Elijah raised a dead man. He raised him back to this life. You're exactly right. And there were some others that were brought back to life. We know that Jesus Himself raised Lazarus after 4 days in the tomb. We know that. And that was before Jesus' resurrection. But Jesus is the very first one who came forth in His brand new resurrection body with victory over death, hell, and the grave. Oh my goodness. Brother Ray was telling me some good stuff before church. He was talking about the scapegoat, and he was talking about where the sins might have went, and he was talking about the body of Jesus. Look, they still ain't found it. That's right. They still won't find it. It's like that scapegoat that went into the wilderness. In His body, He bore our sins and iniquities, and He carried them away. Where? I don't know. But it's gone, it's gone, it's gone. You ask me why I'm happy? My sins are gone. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's a good thing, man. I know I got to hurry. Listen, He's the firstborn from the dead. Nobody's done what He's done before. You know His resurrection is proof of His holiness and His deity. He's the only one that had power over death, hell, and the grave. Scripture tells us when He came out, He holds the keys. This means that the authority over death, hell. Only way He could do that is the fact that He had no sin, but He conquered sin in the flesh of His body through the power of His obedience to the Father and His sacrifice on Calvary's tree. Firstborn from the dead. The other thing we learned in here, it says in verse 18, He also says that in all things that Christ might have the preeminence. I want to say something to you, and I want you to hear me very clearly if you possibly can. Listen, there needs to be nothing in your life that takes first place but Jesus.
Amen.
Nobody and nothing.
Amen.
That's right. That's exactly right. No, he won't be second. He'll only have first. He'll only have preeminence. My daddy used to say he's either first or he's not at all. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. He's not taking the back seat, and it's not because of some kind of ego with him. It's because you can't get in without him. It's in him that you're accepted. So that's why it is. And you got to fully and completely be grounded and settled in him if you're going to get it. It's not about ego. It's not about him saying, well, I got to be first in your life. You might have a girlfriend that was tugging on you when you were younger and say, you always put everything ahead of me. Listen to me. It ain't that kind of thing. It's not jealousy. It's the idea that the only way you can make it is through him. He must be the most important person, the most important idea in your life. He is the preeminence. He has preeminence in all things. In him, the Bible says, I read this verse to you and I said you might want to highlight this. Verse 19, in him, it pleased the Father that in him that in him should all fullness dwell. All the fullness, the entirety or the completeness of everything. Let me say something to you. I want you to hear me again. When the first Adam came, it's no secret to you, he failed being our representative. Then the Bible tells us that later on Jesus came as the last Adam. Some of your later versions of Scripture calls him the second Adam. Some preachers call him the second, but he's not the second Adam. He's the last Adam. And the reason that that's important, because second could imply there could be a third or a fourth or a fifth down the road. But when you say there's the first one and then there's the last one, it lets you know straight up there ain't going to be another one. This is the last one. This one's it. And in him, all fullness to win. In other words, God completed everything. And listen, there's not going to be another one. You can't wait. You can't wait till God says, well, I'm going to give you another opportunity. I'm going to send an angel, or I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, or I'm going to come down myself, or I'm going to send Jesus again. It ain't going to happen. Listen to me. You have one opportunity, and that is to put your faith and trust in him.
Amen.
You got to make him first.
Amen.
And you might be saying, Brother Buddy, I keep hearing that all the time. Well, I don't got nothing new to tell you. It ain't changed. The only thing that needs to change is you. The message doesn't change. He is the answer. Your problems haven't changed because you haven't received him. He is the only way. In him, all fullness dwells. All the entirety and completeness. There's not a follow after. There's not an additional blessing. I don't even want to get into all that stuff. We've also told in these verses, I got to hurry, he was brought to reconcile all things to himself through his own blood. He was brought that he might reconcile all things to himself. That was in verse number 20. He made peace through the blood of the cross and reconciled all things to himself. Now, I didn't pick on that first part of verse 20 because I didn't think I'd have time, and I was right. I'm already out of time. But I want you to understand that our Savior made peace with his Father through his own blood and sacrifice. Can I tell you just one thing real quick, and maybe later we can talk about it, but I want you to know that the covenant that God has is not with me and you. The covenant that God has in the New Testament is between the Father and the Son. The Father and the Son. And the Son completed the covenant. It's complete in him. It's wrapped up in him. It doesn't depend on you. Can you just hear me for a minute? It ain't, aren't you? I'm glad it ain't dependent on me. Stable enough. I ain't smart enough. I can't remember long enough. And I'm not strong enough to make it. If the covenant is between the Father and the Son, the Father said, Son, will you go and bear their penalties? And I'll go and pay everything they owe. And he did. He did. He paid it in full. It'd been carried away as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered. Thank God. He brought me into the family and said here that we've been brought into the family of the Son of God. Man, we've been changed and transformed. I'm now a
son of God. I'm a prince. When you're a son of the king, you're the prince. Prince, buddy. Here I am, man, I'm telling you. And when that wonderful thing that he done in him is so important for you and I, because we cannot do it in ourselves. He completed it through the Father and the Son. That was in verse number 21, I think, or 20. Actually, 20. Made peace. He made peace with the Father through the blood of his cross. So he reconciled all things to where? Look at verse 20 for just a moment. I'm going to have to go back and talk to you. By him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Jesus, for all the people that was on the earth and those that had gone before, he's saying that by the sacrifice he made on Calvary, he brought peace between the sinner and the holy God through his own blood on Calvary's cross. He brought sin, but he did it in himself. He made it through believing and trusting in him. It's wrapped up in Jesus. I know that the covenant is wrapped up in the Son, and whenever you're going to get eternal life, you got to take the Son. That's the only way you get it. Let me wrap up. I'm tired. Why? It says here, verse 22, there's another thing that you need to be grounded and settled in so that you can present. He wanted to present us holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Now, there's not a person here tonight that thinks for a minute that you're holy, unblameable, or unreprovable, except in the sight of God by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus done. He paid that price so that whenever the Father sees you, he sees you as perfect and holy. Amen. And then the last thing, verse number 23. It says, if you continue, this is supposed to be the whole message right here in this one verse that I'm just now getting to. It says, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled. I want you to know this is not a condition for salvation. I've heard some folks say that you got to hold on. Well, but you got, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. That is a scripture. But they're trying to make it a condition of salvation. Like holding on. Like those who are strong enough to make it, they're the one that's going to get in. But it ain't by my strength. It's not a condition of salvation. It's a product of salvation. If you get saved, you're going to hold on. Listen to me carefully. I'm going to try to wrap her up. I promise you I will. Listen, I want you to hear this. Every single individual that comes into the family of God, Ray, you told me just before service time that whenever God brought Noah and his family in with all the animals that were already there, he sealed the door. Amen? They were in there. Who do you think going to open that door? Only God. Only God. When the ark landed a year and 17 days later, a year and a month and 17 days later, listen, they had to wait for God to open the door. They'd been sitting on land for a while, but they didn't go out yet because they had to wait for God to open. Listen to me carefully. This is so important. This holding on thing is not about your strength. You have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Like Ray was talking about, pitched within and without, with pitch, sealed. Sealed. Ain't nothing getting in, ain't nothing getting out. The Bible tells, Jesus himself said, all that you've given unto me, I've lost none. They're all there. All that come into that precious ark are going to make it. You want to make it? You got to get in. You said, brother, buddy, I want to hang on the outside. You're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die in your sin. You're going to go to hell if you try to hang on the outside. You got to surrender all and come all the way in. How far you got to go? All the way in. You got to give it all up. Man, you got to be completely surrendered. I tried going halfway. You did too. I tried hanging on to the old me and see if I could get on board. Yeah, it won't work. Every time the door shut, I find myself on the outside. I'm going like, what happened? I thought I prayed. I thought I got baptized. I thought I was doing right. Had to come again. And he said, you go on in, son. I'm coming. And he's Let go of that. Come on in. Bring it all to the table. Bring it all in. Get in here. You cannot make it without becoming completely surrendered to Him. It's not about you holding on in order to be saved. It's you do hold on because you have been saved. It is a product of your salvation. It is not a condition of your salvation. Woo! So every time I see some folks, I might have told you this recently, and I'm going to tell you one more again, I guess. I used to worry when, as a young pastor, I was chasing people bad. They were coming in the front door, and I thought, man, we're really growing. And I kept looking, and the pews were still about the same number. And what happened was they were going out the back door. They were coming in the front, but some were going out the back. So we're getting new ones in, old ones going out. And I'm going like, what the deal? What up? How come you're not sticking with them? Why aren't you grounded and settled? And I know why now. I went chasing. Boy, my wife will tell you, I was bad for chasing folks and trying to figure out if I could fix them. Like, it drove me crazy. And not good. Trying to get folks fixed, but I now am grounded and settled in knowing this one thing, that if you put your trust in Christ, I ain't going to have to go looking for you. You know what's right. You know He's got to be preeminent. You might go off like the prodigal, but bless God, there's going to come a place where you're going to come to yourself just like he did and say, what am I doing in the pig pen? In my Father's house. I need to be headed back because even the servants have enough and leftovers. I need to go repent to my Father and say, Lord, I am sorry that I have sinned against you and against heaven. Just make me a servant. And watch how he wraps you up, brings you in, and blesses your socks off. Listen to me. Salvation is of the Lord. These verses that the apostle wrote to us in the first chapter of Colossians, we just read some of them to you tonight, tells us about how wonderful Jesus is. He is the incredible gift that was given that keeps on giving. He never will expire. We have some stuff we have to throw out of the refrigerator sometime and out of the pantry because we bad about keeping stuff forever. We just don't throw it away. In fact, we done decided that the Best Buy date doesn't mean nothing. That's right. My wife said, get Buddy in here and let him try it and see if it's still any good. Of course, with me, I say, yeah, that tastes pretty good to me. Everything tastes good to me. So we keep it all. I want you to be satisfied with Jesus. And dissatisfied if you know that you haven't surrendered everything to Him. Would you stand with me tonight for just a moment? This is going to be a time of our altar call for you. We'll give you an opportunity if you want to leave your seat where you are. We've heard great testimony of how God's been answering prayer from folks that have been consistent about coming to the altar and praying for loved ones. And this is your opportunity to do that tonight. But you might have been here tonight and you might have said, Brother Buddy, I wasn't expecting for God to deal with my heart about where He is in the placement of my life. I haven't been good about keeping Him preeminent, first place. I didn't know that in Him all things consist. I wasn't aware that my salvation is a hold on salvation that's dependent upon Him being the one that's holding on to me. And Lord God, tonight I want to make it right. Listen, I want to tell you straight up. If you need to do business with God, you need to do business with God, and you need to do it right now. I'll just tell you the best way I know how. You need to do it now. And you might think I'm being a little bit forward. I'm just telling you that's what you need to do, because I don't know when your time is up. I don't know when our time is up. I don't know when He's coming. I just know He's coming. And I don't want to wait too long. I don't want you waiting behind thinking, well, I was planning on doing that in another day or two. Next week, it's going to be too late one day. Why don't you do it tonight? Why don't you come to Jesus? Why don't you trust Him? Why don't you repent of your wrongdoing? Why don't you commit yourself unto Him? Why don't you love Him like He loves you and give yourself unto Him? Heavenly Fathers, I bow before you tonight. Oh, God, I seek.
Hello, Pastor Buddy here. Thank you for joining us today for our worship service. It is my prayer that you have heard from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through something that was sung or preached or said. If God has touched you, then I would urge you that you surrender to Him today without delay. If you've made a decision to trust Christ as your personal Savior, or maybe you have chosen to surrender to Him more fully in His Lordship, then I would urge you to let us know by giving us a call at 904-924-8240, or you can email me at Pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R, at lrbcjax.org. Until next time, may God be richly blessing you.